Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Tonight, backs were broken, metas were saved, and we're one step closer to the cure. Plus, we have a really special guest in the studio, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We had to break out Barney tonight.
Had to. Killer Frost style. This had to be the one she was bumping.
This would be Killer Frost playlist. What is up, guys? We are back for another episode of The Flash, episode 5, or episode 11, season 5, Seeing Red. I am your girl, Drew Jones. I could not do this without my amazing panel, so you guys introduce yourselves.
Hey, y'all. It's Chauncey K. Robinson.
What's going on? It's Jamie Alexander.
Hey, guys. It's Zach Silverman here.
And you guys in the studio. We have elongated man himself.
Barney.
Barney Sawyer. We are so happy to have you in the studio. Thank you so much for coming
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
We have so much to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the episode. We're going to get into it with Hartley, so make sure to send in some fan questions if you have any. And as always, Chauncey is going to kill it with the news and gossip. So first impressions, you know, initial thoughts of tonight's episode, go.
I really loved it. I was, like, very tensed up, you know, because you never know what's going to happen. A lot of times we see all these wild things happen that we don't know are going to happen, and I just didn't know what was going to happen, and I get really scared when people start getting beat on. So my adrenaline was up. I was excited to watch. My eyes were glued, you know, so it was exciting and adventurous. I enjoyed this episode.
Okay. I liked the episode. Just saying, I liked it. I think it was kind of a recycle of a prior episode, but still good acting, still good story.
Which episode?
Somewhere in season 2. I mean, they referenced it right to Cecile, you know, saying, like, we did this the last time to try and transfer metas. Mm. It's kind of the same thing, but, like, up their game factor with FBI, witness protection.
I really enjoyed it. I thought, I mean, Barry was daddy in this episode, and, like, I don't want to say it in so many ways, but I was just like, you know, in terms of, like, for Nora, and just, I really enjoyed that connection. We got to see some of the other characters shine in other aspects. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Can I just say I really like your character this season?
Thank you.
Yes.
I think, like, we all like him a lot better than last season.
Yeah. This is kind of how I always saw him anyway. Yeah. You know, like, we had to start him there to bring him here, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a lot of fleshing him out, I think, last season.
Yeah, he's just more grounded.
I was going to say, he's still, like, goofy and, like, fun. Like, you know, we got the sister-sister,
which was hilarious.
Which was amazing. Right? But, like, he was great tonight, I felt.
Thank you. I saw somebody comment on that. They were like, do we really believe that Ralph has ever even seen sister-sister?
Oh, who hasn't? That's an insult to sister-sister.
I think everyone has seen that.
That's a universal show.
Yeah.
Loved by many. But, like, let's just hop right into it. We get into the episode and it's Cicada and it's time to go to work. He's been slacking. It's time to get these metas off the street. And he goes straight for Bork and what is the other one? Norvok. We're like, how are we feeling about this, like, hit list of metas and, like, where what it could possibly mean for Cicada? Because he seems like he's kind of run down a little bit. Is that just me?
It looks like he's getting more powerful. He's just more mad.
No, but he's also, like, he started out this episode, he's hurting a lot. Like, he's still trying to heal and everything like that, but I feel like his reaction to that is to be way more aggressive.
Yeah.
He was kind of on a killing spree at first, you know?
Yeah, he's kind of like an injured, like, possum or something right now. Like, he's
lashing out. It was really intense. Like, just his voice is getting more and more gravelly, like, as it goes on. It's, like, intensely more just, like, rugged and just has this whole thing of, it was just really brutal in terms of, like, the opening. He's a straight-up serial killer, and we saw that more in this episode.
Yeah. And he's being egged on. She's like, you need to get back to work. Here's a list. I got people. We got metas to kill.
He was very egged on by the nurse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Are we going to get a little bit more background on the doctor? Do you know that?
I don't know. I don't actually know about that.
Because she's an interesting character for sure. I kind of want to see a little bit more.
Yeah, we dig a little bit more. Yeah, we dig a little bit more into her at one point, I believe, but I can't remember how far in depth it goes. I can't recall. But what's her deal? You know, it's like
she's Aggie.
Cheerleading this whole thing on. Yeah. It's like, okay, you get out there and do it if you're
sorry. Right. Exactly. She's just very aggressive, and I'm like, who hurt you? Like, what is happening here? Why are you so angry? Why are you yelling at him? I get why he's mad, but I don't know. But Killer Frost and Caitlin are kind of, you know, it wouldn't be an episode if they weren't beefing a little bit, like in a cute family like way, but they're beefing over the cure. Anytime Killer Frost comes out, she's wrecking what Caitlin has already seen. What were your all's thoughts on Killer Frost and Caitlin tonight?
I really liked their resolve. Like you said, it was like beef, but it was cute. I like the way Killer Frost made it known that she doesn't want to go anywhere. And I love the way, you know, Ralph stepped in twice to really kind of drop that little seed into Killer Frost. Like, oh, but she wants you here. And, you know, also making her a little bit compassionate. Like, well, you're scared too. You know, just appealing to her soft side. So I think Ralph's character really helped her get to a decision where she could actually bend and understand where Caitlin was coming from. So I liked it.
Now, a lot of people in the chat and on Twitter, obviously, I'm sure you've already heard, like, it's the are they or are they not going to. I personally don't want Ralph and Caitlin together. But what, like, how do you feel?
Why is everyone always trying to do that? I don't even get that vibe.
I'm shipping
it. Well, like, I know why at first last year people were like, okay, they're going to get together. Because they always bring somebody in for Caitlin and then kill them and that kind of thing.
Right.
But that was never on the table. Like, okay. I've seen people commenting saying, oh, they're going to do it. Why would they do that? And I feel like it's like, I don't know, 60-40, 50-50. Like, you take a sampling of people, they feel one way or the other. Yeah. It's kind of down the middle where people, like, some people want to see it happen. A lot of people don't want to see it happen. But we've never talked about that seriously. I mean, I think I love the fact that they're friends, and I especially love that Ralph and Killer Frost get along quite well. Yeah. Like, he's not thrown by her. I think he just understands where she comes from, and I think Caitlin was one of the first people who was, like, you know, cared for Ralph when he first came in and didn't just write him off as a jackass, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And doesn't your character, he has, like, a true love in his comic books.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
like,
Sue. Yeah.
And I remember one time reading that, like, the showrunners were thinking about bringing her in. I mean, like they said something about that last year, but it never seemed to come into fruition.
That's
Did you hear that at all?
Or? That's all been part of, like, a very, very long-term plan.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We even talked about that the first month I was shooting. We talked about that and a few other things that are starting to happen now.
Okay.
I'll say I wouldn't be mad at them, like, if it was, like, towards the end of the show, you know? But right now, I really like the friendship. I think it's solid.
You mean Caitlin and Ralph getting together? I just don't ever see it happening.
I don't want it to happen, but I would be okay
if they're going
with
to do it.
way towards the end.
Do you remember the episode of Friends where, like, was it Joey and Rachel? And, like, they were gonna kiss, and then they were like, no, what are we doing?
It
would be like that.
That's perfect.
Thank you.
That's perfect.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
There will be no Caitlin and Ralph.
Hopefully.
Someone else decides.
So Caitlin realizes she needs fresh made meta for her DNA or for their DNA to figure out, you know, how to reverse it and get it all together. How did you guys feel about the end of the episode with Killer Frost kind of the ball with the speck
with the blood
of blood? That was kind of gross, but kind of, like,
it was
cute.
Sweet.
It's kind of cool. I mean, I knew something was going to happen with it when she, like, sliced him, and she kind of, like, looked on her blade and was like, oh, there's blood there. Like, I knew something was going to come up with that.
Mm. I didn't even notice that, so
I just thought she was excited for drawing blood. I didn't realize it was going to be. Yeah.
She's just a maniac. It's nice because it shows how they work in tandem together, like, hand in hand. Like, they are one person, but split personality. Like, they care for each other and want to see good happen for both of them, so if she were to just ignore it, I feel like it would just put a wall in the whole plot line of where we have to go with curing the cure.
I like, you know, I think in this episode in particular, Killer Frost really got to shine bit more because, you know, there are times when, like, she's come in and it's been, like, a snarky reply. And then I even liked how they made it so when Barry came in, she's like, I'll get Caitlin. Because she knew that she just kind of felt like he's going to send me away. No one likes to keep Killer Frost around, and she got to stay around. And it really just, I really dug her. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when she first was kind of more of the villain, and I dug her then. And then she kind of, they kind of had this kind of Hulk plot line going on with Caitlin and stuff. Don't get her angry, she's trying to kill Frost. And I like that there's this balance now, but more so, you know, KF gets to have a little bit more of a personality, some moment.
Well, yeah, like I love that little moment where after Killer Frost talked to Norvok and she's like kind of fronting and she's trying to write everything off. And, like, and it's like, he knows that she's just afraid, you know? And the idea that Killer Frost is afraid of something, I think, just makes her a lot more accessible for us as viewers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like that a lot. The idea that she's just been terrified and not sure where she stands with Caitlin. And it's just all about that they love each other, you know? Mm-hmm. Barney, I love you.
Yes. Exactly. On set, really quick, is Danielle any different when she's trying to get into Killer Frost mode? Or is she just the same as she would be playing Caitlin?
You mean like when we're not shooting?
Yeah,
that kind
when you're
of thing?
Not shooting. Yeah. Like
no, she's exactly the same. She just takes longer to get ready because there's so much going on with all of that. But no, she's always, she's an like extremely professional person. Like she's, I've known her for years and I've learned a lot from her working on this show. She's great.
Awesome. I love it. So Ralph and XS and The Flash and Killer Frost head out to go and try to, you know, have some beef with Cicada. And he breaks Nora's entire back in a very heartbreaking way.
That was terrible. Straight up Nightfall right there.
I will say I kind of love the side of Barry and Iris, like the parenting aspect of it. What did you guys think of that?
Amazing. I loved it. Yeah. I loved seeing Iris go all Mama Bear, like, that's a lane that you don't go down.
Yeah, with Sherlock. Yeah. I really love that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the first times we've seen her go there like that. And then the same thing with Barry, like we've never seen him, like they said, oh, we've never seen him. He's 280, whatever, going through his body. We've never seen him that angry. And, you know, it's just a reminder, like your children, I guess, will bring that out of you. Neither one of them knew they had that in them until the moment presented itself.
Well, and also where the episode ends with Barry's realization that Cicada's a father and maybe that's a way in. The idea that, you know, I think that occurred to Barry because he was fully prepared to quite possibly kill Cicada, effectively in defense of his daughter, and
that's just what he's doing.
Sort of,
as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So you start to see more. He starts to see more of himself in the villain. Which, okay, maybe there's another way to approach this.
Yeah,
I like when that line is blurred too. When it's like, you know, there's more of a gray area with what's good and what's bad. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Barry really has been kind of such a squeaky clean.
Yeah, you're telling Ralph, you know, like it's always like everybody's squeaky clean, you know? Yeah.
You know what's great about this episode? I don't know if you guys noticed in the warehouse when he's talking to Cecile and then a few other times when he was confronted with Cicada, background lighting of green and red, throwback to Elseworlds. When he was like confronting being Arrow and having to kill. And so there's literally this scene when he's, like, fuming with Cecile. Yeah. And, like, there's green on one side, red on the other, Arrow and the Flash. Like, what is he going to do?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was, like, intentional.
Symbolism.
It's
symbolism,
great.
But
it's
it was, great. It was I saw that, and I was just like, whoa.
Yeah, super cool.
Am I just too deep?
Yeah.
Heard that he was, because of his time with Arrow, was going to have a little bit of that darkness in him a bit more. I think we saw that for sure in this episode particularly.
Are we going to see that anger kind of stick with him throughout the season, or is that like a one and done type thing?
Well, from what I understand of it, it basically brings him to that place of love where not the right way to put it, but just makes him realize how much Nora means to him, and I think having more empathy for a villain, which I think is a good quality, but I think something that certainly Ralph would say he takes too far. I mean, I was the one last year being like, let's just kill DeVoe.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. I have a gun. Let's shoot.
Yeah,
let's go to my glove box. Yeah. I'll do this right now.
Yeah. That's the weird thing about this tonight's episode, though, is that, like, Barry and the Flash is... He shows how much of a hero of heroes that he is, where, like, he is looking out for all these bad people, and it kind of... threw me for a loop when he is like, let's round up all these people and save them, even though they're horrible criminals. Mm-hmm. But yet he can't see that with Cicada, and he wants to kill Cicada. And it's just this line of, like, are you going to be a Batman or are you going to be like a Superman? Like, yeah. What do you stand for?
Kind of well, thing. Why are you
Batman
doing it,
doesn't
you
know? Kill.
Batman doesn't kill, but he's brutal.
Well, he did in, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, that's a...
well, Superman's, you know.
I just use those two because it's like light and night, yeah. Night and dark. It's the polar opposites.
Well, then also, Cecile made a good point. Like, those criminals served their time already. So,
yeah.
Homegirls exactly. Are in a bar. Somebody, like, they've moved on. So, I do think...
But are they going to be on parole? Is there, like, a special metahuman identity change parole?
Right.
Something.
But I don't know. Is there?
But I think that also kind of brought into... I mean, there were some themes. And I kind of wrote down X-Men when they were talking about, like, metahuman rights. Totally. You know? Where it was just this idea of, you know, they deserve protection, too. Why hasn't that been passed? There's policies. There's government. These people are citizens. I mean, just like any citizen would come out of jail and have some type of a chance to be reformed, why is there some idea that a metahuman comes out and they're just going to be super villain for... I mean, yes, that is usually how it goes. But we've seen, and even in the last episode, there was this theme of redemption going on. So I think, you know, and maybe that might be more pronounced as the season goes on, because there seems to be lines in the sand with certain... We saw that with Jonesy and stuff, of this question of where do the metahumans fit into this world?
Yeah, and I like exploring that thing a lot, that you say the X-Men idea. Like, I like the idea of being like this whole group of people, and there's more and more and more of them. What are they going to do, and where are they coming from, and are they all bad, are they all good? You know, maybe they're bad because when they get out of Iron Heights or they get out of prison, there's nothing for them to do except be branded a horrible person, you know, and there's no due process, there's no, you know, where are their
no redemption,
their rights? Yeah, yeah, exactly. Is there a path for that? And I think we sort of saw a little bit of that in this episode, which I liked, was the idea of, I think we saw it with Norvok, where it was like when there was a chance to maybe be, have a different path and go a different way, he took advantage of that, right?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
So obviously you guys planned to take them, you know, put them in witness protection. What was it like filming that scene with all of the different actors playing all these different types of metas? You said it was really cold that night that you guys...
The scene, the helicopter stretch scene where I start pulling everybody up, that was so cold. Everybody had the flu, it felt like. So I was trying to not get the flu. Because that happens when we're shooting in Vancouver a lot, like around January. This is November, I think. In November, everybody starts getting sick. And you're trying not to get sick, and then they have these two massive... 25-foot-tall fans on either side of us to make the helicopter win. Yeah. Just blowing at us like this. And water. And, like, water going into it. So cold water. And it was, you know, like 40 degrees outside.
Jeez.
So we had to do that over and over and over again. And all of us were like... But it was fun to shoot. I mean, I knew it was going to look super cool when they did it. But it was a bit of a tough one to shoot. But... I've had much tougher than that. I mean, it was an easy day, all things considered, but cold. Cold. Yeah.
Did you have something?
Oh, no. No.
Okay, then I have a quick question. So, how do you normally film the, like, Ralph?
I was just about that.
Seems obviously you don't stretch like that.
Like, do you just, like, pause?
Parts of me kind of do. But, we do it in all sorts of different ways, and I get that question a lot. There's a lot of VFX, but there's also a lot of practical stuff, even with camera moves and stuff like that. There's also sometimes it's just me doing stuff that I really feel when I'm driving home from work, because it's like bending a certain way and being like, okay, there it is. I've been on wires to do it. I've had to contort and bend and do certain things. Some of it's just weird stuff that I can do with my face naturally, which is like a gift, I guess. So it's just all sorts of different things that come into it, but a lot of it's VFX, and that stuff is, you know, you have to do things specifically in a certain way every single time, the same way over and over again. So that becomes a lot of work, and they do a great job with it.
Yeah,
it all work.
I was gonna say, it looks cool. It hurts to watch sometimes. I'm like, I don't think bodies should do that.
My favorite VFX shot that I saw this season was, I think it was episode 5. It was Iris and Barry, and he's like, I want to try something I saw in a comic book, and he did the Spider-Man thing through the...
It was Ragdoll episode.
With the guy who could actually contorted into that.
That was awesome.
But, like, swinging so through the city, I loved that sequence, and I thought they did a great, great job with that. I thought it looked like something from a movie. It was so cool.
Yeah, that was literally the coolest. I want to talk about the fight that went down between Cicada and Barry and Cicada and Killer Frost, because I know people in the chat are going off about it. Do we think the Flash can fight?
Yeah, I think he can fight.
Like,
you don't mean the Flash, you mean Barry Allen.
Barry Allen. Do we think Barry Allen can throw hands without the speed?
Not
person?
Barry Allen. I don't think. Do you think support your argument?
I think
that, okay, so I heard this story back in the day, and I don't know if it's true or not, but this woman's child got hit by a car, and I think she was, with her adrenaline, she was able to lift the car off the child.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I feel like, right, Barry Allen can fight because, you know, he had some adrenaline behind
it. But we're talking about, like, technical stuff, right?
Well, I mean, you're able to do things that you don't know you're able to do until you start doing it when you're pissed.
I write it off to, like, experience. For years, he's been fighting all of these people. Yes, as the Flash. Yes, with superpower. But, like, you're going to pick up stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you're not going to be, like, any of us just walking off the street fighting, like, an MMA guy or something like that. And Cicada, it's like, how trained is he? He's not Oliver Queen, right?
Yeah.
True.
Like, he's obviously skilled and has skill and everything like that. But he's kind of like a brawler, right?
Yeah.
In a bar fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not fighting. Like, if he did that to Oliver Queen, we'd all be like, yeah, that's probably never, ever, ever.
That's true.
But Barry also retained some of the things that he had when he was Oliver Queen. So, like, I'm seeing that now, especially in tonight, where he did know how to, like, take a block and a punch and whatnot and throw it a certain way as opposed to if he was just, like, running around him speed punching, you know?
That's a he's
not doing that. He's actually, like, defending himself.
That's a really great point, though. So. He picked that up in Elseworlds and, like, he's kept that in. Yeah. That's great.
I think this was one of my favorite fights that we've seen from Barry. Like, not necessarily the Flash, but Barry. Actually, no, and the Flash. I just thought it was, like, badass. Even, like, when he, you know, slowed it down for a minute, he's just, like, mean mugging him.
Oh, it's great.
So cool.
That was great.
I love how
it was like, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
it's great how the creators, they either tend to decide to give us, like, Barry will be really fast and you'll see the bad guy get hurt. Or, like, now, lately in this season, we're getting a lot of seeing Barry's side of it. Like, where...
I love
it. The flat... What does he call it? Flash time? Or,
Flash
time. We're getting to see more of that. And they're just, like, frozen. It's just like, oh, you could do so much to that person.
So good.
I agree. So, Officer Jones is... Which, great last name. He's not feeling Metis. He's not down with it. Are we going to see more, like... regular civilians start to have problems with Metis? Is that going to be like a thing?
Yes, you will see a little bit more of that. And I can't say too much about that, but you will see more of that. People will have...
So
it blurs the line. Again, it blurs the line between what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad.
Interesting.
I'm interested to see that just because Supergirl kind of played with that.
They still are a little bit.
With the alien, like, you know, anti-aliens thing. So I think it'd be cool to see it in the Metis sense. Especially because, I don't know, I feel like... I feel like your city is a little bit more friendlier than like the Super
Yeah, it's a happier spot.
Yeah.
Central. Yeah.
So I'm interested to see like that play out. But
I thought with they did give a reference sort of to that about that blurred line with Peekaboo, who was saying when she was telling Barry, "What you gonna put me back into the jail cell that you guys have?" Like that's that blurred line again because we were talking about like they have this place where they were putting people away without any trials or anything, and it's just like who does?
Yeah,
that?
No due process. No toilet from what I've seen. You
know? Well, no, we found out there is a toilet.
I know, but when I started, I was like,
that was our number one question.
And they were like, "Yeah, people talk about that all the time." So I was like, "Okay, people are asking the right questions,
right?" Like we're the toilet.
Side note, a question that we've had for literally seasons now. Where is Star Labs security?
Yes.
Like, why?
Everyone can just break it.
Everyone can just walk right up in there.
Felicity said that last year, didn't she?
Yeah, like, what is episodes, happening?
She's like, where is, I don't know. I guess they have, like, you know, Front Point or ADT or something like that. Forgetting to pay the bill, maybe.
At this point, I almost don't want to see there ever be any type of, like, you have to keep it going at this point. There can't be...
Yeah.
Everyone has to just be able to walk right in. The Sherlock and Nora situation, he is getting on her tail. He figures out that there has to be a mastermind because there's two...
different handwriting.
That was a great shot at the end.
So good.
Yeah.
Great
you,
shot.
All you guys looked down. You didn't see that, did you?
What?
You were all writing, looked down, writing
I
down.
Saw it.
You saw
you're crazy. The reflection. Reflection. Tom's reflection.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I saw everyone looking down. I was like, look up.
I saw that. How does Ralph feel about Nora? Because I feel like he likes her, but it kind of seems like he's a little questiony.
He loves Nora. I mean, there's nothing not to love, but he knows there's more there than what's going on. He absolutely knows there's more there. And he's known that from early on, and we'll explore that a little bit more. He knows there's just something off there, you know? But he loves Barry, you know? Like, he really does love Barry and Iris and the whole group, so he's not going to, you know, derail that.
I'm interested. I don't know. There's just like you guys are setting up so much for the season right now that I'm just like, I don't even know.
Ralph is in, you know, this is his family now. He didn't have a family. He has a family. It's Team Flash. And that's what he's going to protect more than anything. And Nora's part of that. She's included in that.
And I feel like with Ralph, you always deliver what you need to say with, like, softness and compassion. So I could never see Ralph, like, flipping out. Or I mean, Sherlock is not being that hard, but I couldn't see Ralph being even as hard as Sherlock on Nora.
Yeah.
No, probably not. Ralph's all heart. I mean, he's got a lot of heart. He's got a huge heart.
Someone in the chat actually asked, and I think we mentioned it in the beginning of the season, how we were just talking about your powers, Ralph's powers, but we've seen a reemergence more of his detective skills a bit more, which I really liked because, I mean, one of the things of just playing, I think it's a great way to get the layers of the character a little bit outside of his powers. Have you enjoyed that a bit more, the whole back and forth with Sherlock? And
that was one of the things that I wanted right away. Like, when I first came in, it was like, in the comics, he's, you know, second, I think, only to Batman in terms of being a detective in DC Comics. He's brilliant. And that really, like, that's kind of his superpower, you know, at least one of them. That's, like, his other main superpower is the deductive reasoning, whatever you want to call it. And when I came on, I was like, cool, let's do that. And they're like, wait, we have this idea. We want to set this up, bring this guy through this whole journey last year, to bring him from, you know, the not-so-good Ralphie and the jackass Ralphie, and then bring him back and have this whole thing. And now we're starting to get into that more, and I'm really enjoying that. Like, I think it was episode 4 where we did some of that, and me and Tom worked together, and that was super fun. And I'm always down for that. Like, I want more and more and more of that. And there is more of that coming, too. I love that. Like, even tonight, the little thing where Sherlock was, like, figuring out, oh, the web on the guy's neck, and I was like, oh, that's this, oh, that's that. And I love seeing that side of the character, too. It fleshes him out way more. It brings all these layers into it.
So when the chat was asking, has there been any different about portraying Ralph this season compared to season 4?
No, for me it's a natural progression of, like, because to me he still feels like the same Ralph. He's just, you know, he's just grown up.
Yeah.
You know, and I like
that. Yeah, I think he learned a lot in last season in potentially actually dying.
Yeah, and that he did die.
Yeah, he did was like, die. And
that was the whole plan, was like to bring him through this thing. And when he died, and we talked about this when he died, I was like, you know, he was in there for, I don't know, a few weeks, 5 weeks for the team. But for him, he was in there for far, far, far longer than that. But we didn't put that in the script. We talked about, like, a Groundhog Day aspect where he was in DeVoe's mind for, like, years and years and years and years.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Like, he cooked in that thing for years. That's one of the things we talked about. And we had a whole avenue we were going to do where he was going to have, like, a beard and, like, all this stuff. And we're going to, like, Castaway. We're going to, like, do that whole thing. But I kept that in the portrayal where it was, like, that's – he's been cooking in there for years. It's like this guy that was a jackass. You haven't seen him for 6 years. And you're like, oh, you're still you, but, like, you really grew up.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the slow cooker he went through.
Mm.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I was listening to a podcast you were on today, and you told the story of – oh, God, what was it? What was it? It was like your most recent interview, I think, that you've done.
Was
but
the
you
one were with Travis?
Not with Travis, ADHD? But you were talking about your first audition, your audition with the
I
Flash.
I think it was ADHD with Travis Mills. Yeah, yes, with Travis.
Okay, so can you just, like, tell the people, like, because I thought it was a really funny story, if you could just share.
So I feel like a lot of actors say this when they get a great part. They're like, oh, I thought it was a terrible audition. This audition for this role was, I walked out of there thinking, truly, it was the worst audition I'd ever given. They had changed my time, my audition time. They'd brought it earlier in the day. No problem. I got there 20, 30 minutes early, like I always try to do and usually do. Because you want some time to, like, you know, go to the bathroom, whatever. Like, do your thing, review your lines, all that stuff. Just be settled. And I got to the gate, security gate, and the guy's like, we don't have you on the list. Oh my God. And my audition's in, like, 45 minutes. I'm like, okay. And this is with the producers. This is with everybody. I'm going right to that, and you've got to be on it. You want to nail it. I'm like, okay, cool, no problem. What do I do? He's like, I don't know, man. Maybe pull over and call your agent. And I'm like, no problem. Thank you. Like, pulling over, like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Call my agent. He's like, let me call. I'm sitting there 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I text him. He's like, I'm on it and figuring it out right now. 15 minutes go by, 20 minutes go by. I finally get in and I park my car and it's 6 minutes until my audition and I need, like, I've been panicking, so I need time to, like, review my lines, get back into it. I have, like, a monologue sort of thing to do. I need to refresh it, so I spend a few minutes. And then I go upstairs. My appointment was at 4 p.m. I stepped out of the elevator at 4:01 p.m. I'm like, whatever, no huge deal, it'll be fine. I go into the audition room where almost always there's various other actors waiting that are auditioning for the same part, empty. And since I've been waiting at the gate, and I drank coffee, and I drank water, I'm about to burst. Like, I am just about to explode. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. casting assistant pops her head out and goes, are you ready?
Of course.
And I remember this distinctly. I go, I was just going to hop into the restroom real quick if that's okay. She goes, well, you're the last one in there waiting. And oh, she wasn't smarmy about it. She was like, okay, but just you're the last one in there. And they're waiting. And I'm like, great, these people hate me. I'm waiting. There's nobody else there. They've probably been up there for 10 minutes waiting for me. They have 5,000 things to do. And very full bladder. I was like,
wow.
I was like, yeah, of course. It's great.
That's right. Yeah. You pulled a Joey, brother,
yeah.
Right?
I was like, yeah, I can do this. Yeah, I'm totally ready. I'm so ready. And just went in and talked with everybody and then did the scene and then talked a little more and walked out and was like, they hated me. They absolutely hated me. Called my agent. I was like, you've got to try to sort this out for me because I am ruined. I was like, I am absolutely ruined. I thought it was so, you know, because you're just not feeling in it. But the thing about auditioning is it's not about... it's not always about your experience. It's just about what the whole thing is and what the other people are experiencing. And then it was a few days later, they're like, hey, they want to meet with you and talk about it. I was like, you sure they got the right guy? Yeah. And then it just went on from there. But I truly, it was like that experience. You know, you're late, and yeah. Something makes you more late, something and you just don't feel on it. You don't feel you know?
We are lucky that they picked you. I don't think
I'm very lucky.
I don't think I could see another. I feel like you are Ralph. Like, it wouldn't make sense for anybody else.
It's really fun for me. I like the part.
Did you pay attention to online what they were saying when you were first on, or were you
not
just
really.
Kind of like, I'm going to avoid
all
of this?
No, not really. I mean, that would kind of taint things. And I think that's really hard for any actor. Like,
yeah.
I think anybody who's doing this kind of stuff kind of has to.
You never read the comments.
I mean, I have like, here and there.
No, as an actor, just don't read the comments.
Yeah, I just stay away from that. Yeah. It's like, whatever, you know, everybody has an opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're like something else, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's got them.
Billie Jean Girl in the chat wants to know, who is someone you wish you had more scenes with?
Probably Tom. Actually, no, Nora. I love working with Tom. I've had some with Tom. I want to do some stuff with Jessica Parker Kennedy.
Mm.
We get along really well, and I love her. And I would love to see Ralph and Nora together. I think it'd be really fun.
She's so versatile, too, because she plays this part, and it's, like, so young in mind. And then she was also on the show, I believe, Black Cells.
Yeah.
And it was totally just kind of, that show was, like, a totally, like, 180 from the
Flash.
She
was, like, a brothel owner in that show,
wasn't
she?
Yeah, she was, like, a brothel owner. And I was just, like, then I saw that I was, like, so they're going to have Nora sort of have an edge. And then she just so, I'm, like, wow, this is versatility.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's an incredible actress. Yeah.
What other DC characters would you like to see come through on The Flash?
Like, well, Sue Dibney. I sort of have to say that. Sue Dibney. I haven't thought about who I would like to see in the world of The Flash. I haven't thought extensively about that. And then there's something that I actually can't say.
If you weren't playing Ralph, is there another character on the show, gender aside, that you would be like, they'd be fun to play? Or someone's power that you would like... think would be fun to kind of play around with?
Well, I mean, The Flash has an amazing power. Like, I love that power. I think I really like the role of Caitlin in Killer Frost. Like, that's a really, really fun one. That would be a fun one to try on. I would like that a lot. We should do an episode where, like, everybody swaps.
Everyone's switching powers.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Love that. Do you guys have any questions while I look through the fan questions?
I think somebody in the chat asked, we nixed shipping you and Caitlin, but what about you and Killer Frost?
I mean, I think that kind of works. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think that's more along the lines of what would actually happen than Ralph and Caitlin.
Okay.
But I don't think it would last.
No.
That's like, you know.
We get more of Caitlin anyway than Killer Frost. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That would not last.
It'd be combustible in terms of, they probably want to kill each other after a bit, yeah. Maybe.
I'm more worried about Ralph than Killer Frost.
And then really quick before we hop into news and gossip and predictions, I saw that you were walking a bunch of dogs the other day in the rain, and you do, like, a lot of volunteer work with...
I do, as much as I can, yeah.
Your animal love is awesome.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, as much as I can.
The t-shirt you got going on already.
Yeah,
well,
and
no,
the
t-shirt. I love dogs more than anything in the world, and whenever I can, I'm at the shelter in South L.A. volunteering, and... You know, we need help. Like, nobody comes down there.
Mm-hmm.
People go to the other shelters, and they have tons of volunteers, and we're the biggest one in the city. There's almost 400 dogs there, and really nobody comes to help.
Huh. Is there a way that people who aren't in Los Angeles can, like, help or donate or anything like that?
So when people ask me this question, what I say to them is, like, it's great to want to reach out to the South LA and that community and the dogs from that community, but I guarantee you, no matter where you are, it's probably happening around the corner for you, and you don't realize it. Go to your local shelter, see what it's about, get involved. there's a million things to do over there. It doesn't have to be like walking large dogs like we're doing. It can be anything. Clean rabbit cages, anything.
Yeah. Cool. One of the great things is I think in California, they just passed the idea of like not being able to, having the pet shops having to get animals from the rescues.
From the shelters.
Which is I think is really great.
Yeah, it's a great step in the right direction. Yeah.
All right, do we want to hop into news and gossip?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay, so the Flash showrunner explains why Tom Cavanaugh is back as Reverse Flash. As the, you know, online there were some people who were kind of questioning why is it Tom's face and not the original's face, Matt Lesher. We've seen the return of Revenge Flash on the show, yet some fans are wondering why Tom. Our showrunner Todd Helbing explained recently to TV Line that the whole theme of the season is legacy. So it felt more applicable in a way that we introduce Reverse Flash as Wells for it to play out the way with Tom. And then he was a bit more ominous in saying that if you plot out the Thawne timeline, I think there's a version of this online somewhere. It makes more sense logically in a weird time travel way. So I guess it'll make more sense in the future episodes why it's Tom's face and not Matt's face, which was something that was on a lot of fans' question, minds when we first saw Reverse Flash make an emergence. And then on a highlight of something a little bit deeper, in Pop Sugar, there's an awesome article about Candace Patton showcasing how the Flash leading lady has, you know, helped change the game when it comes to representation that you can find on the Pop Sugar website, where she talks about her role as Iris 5 years later and how, you know, in a way that it paved the way for other actresses of color to play more leading roles in the comic book live action verse, which we weren't seeing as much before Iris West came about. So that's a really great little tidbit there. And lastly, there's a big news thing. A cast member of The Flash will be celebrating their birthday this Friday.
No.
Yes. And it's Hartley Sawyer. Oh, my gosh, guys. Happy birthday.
Where's the Happy Birthday Techno Remix?
Yes, we need the Techno Remix.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I keep forgetting it's my birthday. I'm not a huge, huge birthday guy. Like, I like it, but, you know.
I like staying alive.
I'm getting old. As you get older, it's like, okay, yeah.
Another year.
Closer to Social Security. So.
Well, yes. Happy early birthday. Do you have any fun plans or anything?
I'm a very, like, no plan guy. When I carve out my time, I want to wake up in the morning and be like, you know what, it's going to be this. And I'm sure you'll probably see it on social media, whatever I decided to do.
Okay, cool.
Anything from skydiving to napping all day.
Oh, yes. The wide spectrum.
That's how I play. That's how I live my life.
Live loose.
Well, you guys, let's hop into predictions.
Let's do it.
Ooh. I bet I could get some.
Now.
Maybe we should. Yeah. Well, what are your predictions?
Yeah, we'll start with you.
I like my job a lot.
Keeping my job.
That's right. A good prediction.
Zach, take it away.
Well, we have in the previews a little bit of an Inception type episode coming up, which is kind of cool. I think we are going to get a little bit more hinted towards Reverse Flash. I mean, we got that little scene really quick where Barry sees him, and I think maybe tables will turn a little bit, and Nora has some explaining to do.
Yeah, I definitely like that prediction of Nora having explaining to do.
She got some explaining to do.
I'm thinking, I don't know if there'll be time just because of the way the preview looked, but maybe like, Sherlock will get closer to what's going on with Nora and it'll be revealed to somebody. I don't, you know, whether Ralph ends up helping or he slips and tells Iris something. I just see something, a step going further with what Sherlock has found out about Nora. But I'm really excited about that next episode.
I usually give more hope than prediction. And my hope is that we find a little bit more about...
I'm taking notes.
Yes, please do. We find out a bit more about, you know, Barry, you know, disappearing in the Speed Force. Because once again, that's brought up and we don't seem to be working through... I mean, I know we got to get Cicada, but it's like, what happens? Yeah. Like, are we going to start dealing with that? I want to start dealing with that. Thank you. He's taking notes, y'all.
I am predicting / hoping that we kind of find out we get to see Iris in the future.
Yes.
Nora's memories. So I want to see why There was beef in the beginning. I want to know why Nora was like a little pressed by her mom when she first came around. I want to see, you know,
that whole situation. Well, you know, the showrunner, he said that we might be seeing her.
Yeah. I want it next episode, though.
Yes.
Could be. Could not be.
Could not be. But
and while she looks exactly the same, like, I just feel like Iris would just stay so, like,
they put, like, she a keep the glow. She keep the glow.
Like,
yeah,
single gray hair, like Nancy from Freddy Krueger.
That's how Candace is probably going to age too.
Exactly. She's that's like a great glow like, about she's her. She's just not going to age. 25 years from now,
I will accept however they choose to age her. Amen. I'm like, that's right. Like,
that makes sense. That makes that's sense. Accurate. That's comic book accurate.
Well, we want to thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Quite a pleasure.
Do it again.
Yes.
Anytime.
Where can the people keep up with you?
Instagram and Twitter is at Hartley Sawyer. Spelled like Hartley Sawyer.
Perfect.
It's mostly dogs a lot of the time, but a lot of flash stuff too.
We love dogs. Until next time, guys, I'm your girl, Drew Jones. You guys can find me on all the things at OKDrewJ.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Ms. Chauncey KR and also on Rotten Tomatoes as I'm an official film and TV critic over there.
Yes, and you can find me on Instagram at Jamie Alexander.
And guys, my name is Zach Silverman. You can find me all across social media at Zach with a CH Silverman 2.
All right, guys, we'll see you all next week.
All right. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.